This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means. And I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/iFanboy.
You're listening to Goodfellas Minute 128.
I know I'd go from rags to riches if you would only say you
can. Hello, welcome to Goodfellas Minute, the only podcast that analyzes the Martin Scorsese picture Goodfellas one angry sausage cooking minute at a time. My name is Connor Kilpatrick. I'm here with Ron Richards.
Hello.
And Josh Flanagan.
Hey.
This minute begins with an emotional embrace in the corner of a gaudily appointed room.
Gaudily.
And ends with Polly berating Henry. So,
The screams at the top of the minute, Karen just like a banshee.
They both have broken at this point.
Well, but she's got a certain, she's hitting octaves that I feel they're just, like, I'll give it up. I mean, I'll give it up. What's this character's, this woman's name? Lorraine Bracco, right?
Yes.
I'll give it up to Lorraine Bracco for, I have not seen her since. Scream at such levels, and maybe she has in other roles. I don't know. It's been 30 years, but or 25 years. How long has it been? 25 years.
Yes.
Yeah, 25 years. But she did a great job on the screaming no, and I'm sorry, and crying.
She is sorry.
Yeah.
Because it's $60,000 of drugs.
I thought similarly how Josh mentioned yesterday that Henry smacking the wall was echoes of Henry smacking the wall when Lufthansa happened. I thought this crying on the floor echoed the last time they were crying on the floor when she held the gun to him, you know, when she found out about Janice.
Right.
It almost seems innocent now.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, I mean, like,
she put the gun on him before.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those were heady days. I think that what's interesting with the close-up of this shot is that they look like they're some sort of weird futuristic insane asylum.
Well, when they're in bed or in the corner?
In the corner.
Yeah, close yeah.
Up,
yeah.
All you can see is that horrible metallic backdrop.
Yes, you're right. Like if you took that, if you took a still shot of them, of the close-up of them against that wall embracing each other and said, what is this movie? No one would ever guess Goodfellas.
Right. It's weird.
No, it would have been that Scorsese one that it was Shutter DiCaprio.
Island. Yeah, Shutter Island.
I've never seen that, actually.
I saw it in the theater.
You don't need to.
We should do Shutter Island Minute.
Let's not. This is some ugly crying.
Ugly crying. Ugly crying.
This is like I've heard that phrase, and this is what it is. It's funny because when I had a kidney stone, that's the exact same noise I made.
The Karen?
Ugly crying?
No, Henry's.
I'd be more impressed if you sounded like Karen.
It was a rough time. I'm saying, but like it takes an enormous amount of pain to make a human male make those noises. Right. And he's talking to somebody. He's just, oh God, what are we gonna do?
Yeah, yeah. He's just talking out loud at this point.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. It's just his inner monologue, and he's like, I can't do anything to make this go away, and I feel completely helpless, and everything sucks.
Yeah,
crap. So they just passed out.
Yeah, I like the fact that they're also up against an outlet, and you see the wires running to the gaudy lamps.
I thought you were going to say so they could charge their phones.
No, it's a lot of empty space in that room. A
lot of empty space in that room. Also, the outlet plate is also covered in the bad wallpaper.
You feel like they put like a plant or
something, a chair,
a side, little corner table.
Yeah, it's very
I like that we've moved to the phase in this where you guys are trying to edit what they're doing. Decorating.
Well, it's just an oddly empty space in that room.
They had to shoot a scene there.
So they collapse in the wall on the floor, and then it cuts to them collapsed on the bed, asleep together, wiped out. And the camera pans down, and we see that Henry slept with a gun in his hand. And my first thought is that's not safe. Like, his finger's literally on the trigger while he's asleep.
It's not good gun safety. You're not supposed to put your finger in the trigger guard unless you're prepared to shoot.
Right. Now, I don't know much about guns. I've only touched a gun once, so I can't tell if the safety is on or if it's loaded, but I still think this is not safe.
I feel like he probably hasn't taken any of those NRA safety courses.
Probably not.
Probably not.
This gun's probably not even legal.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, criminal.
It's a criminal with an unregistered weapon.
Now, enough about the gun. Let's talk about what really matters in this minute.
Well, before you get to that, I would say I do like the audio mix of when Henry wakes up. So it's what you've got is you've got a layering. And I don't know who did the audio mixing. I don't know. Whoever did the audio mix. Whoever's the Thelma Schumacher of audio, I think, deserves credit for this. And I should look up his name, but I'm talking right now, so bear with me.
Keep talking.
There's a layering of Karen screeching and the crying going on that kind of fades out, but then fades into the sound of cars driving by and horns, and that's what wakes up Henry. And I just thought that was a great little great little moment of like echoes of last night, but also here now we're on the new day, you know. So I thought it was
it could also be indicative of what is happening in his brain, which is a lot of noise and a lot of it's a stressful sound effect.
Right. Yeah.
It's also an echo of the beginning of the movie.
Yes.
Sound.
Yes.
Sort of the first things we hear.
Yeah. So I thought that was interesting. And then also interesting that you pick up Henry's audio of the next scene while the shot's still on the gun.
Right.
Yeah. I believe
we've done that crossfade stuff before.
Yeah, yeah, but I think it's great. Yeah. So. And then we get to the real star of this minute.
Would you want to know about sound?
Sure, yes. Yeah, yeah.
There's not like a mixer per se. There's a couple of assistant sound editors, Michael Barenbaum, William Docker. Yeah, Brian Johnson, another sound editor. But it seems like there's a bunch of dialogue editors specifically dealing with that. There's a Foley guy. Supervising sound editor is Skip Livesay.
Well, it's got to be a Skip Livesay.
Who also worked on a shitload of Coen Brothers movies.
Well, I always like to say, if you want really good sound mixing, you got to go Livesay.
Yeah, you got to go Livesay. Oh, yeah. You need to get Skip in here. Where's Skip?
The Livesay maneuver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did all the Hunger Games movies. He did Birdman.
Yep.
Great sound.
Yeah.
Often you'll hear
Gravity sound was amazing.
Throughout the corridors of Hollywood, you'll hear get Livesay on this bitch.
Now the thing is you might know somebody who doesn't know what they're talking about, and they might say, get that Livesay guy.
Right.
And you go, get out of here. It's Livesay.
Also, you didn't even hear Josh just said. He said Llewyn Davis, which I think.
I heard it. I swooned a little.
Big Lebowski, No Country for Old Men, Fargo.
Has he worked with Scorsese ever since? Did he work on Shutter Island?
He's done a lot of work. I'm trying to go back, and I'm only in 2011. So
wow, he's a busy guy. That Livesay.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, Livesay. You gotta live life like Livesay.
One layer at a time.
One layer at a time. So the real star of this minute, Henry goes to I gotta give Henry credit. He's facing his fear. The first person he goes to see after getting out, after getting home, sleeps, has a good night's sleep with Karen, and then the next day he puts on a suit and he goes to see Paulie. And while he gets to see Paulie, he gets to see the star of this minute, which is a pan of sausage and peppers that Paulie is cooking.
Okay. My note is that sausages have never looked better.
Oh my God.
I don't think that Henry is thinking about those sausages at all.
Which is a mistake.
Right, which is, yeah.
You should always think about the sausages.
You got to eat. You're so skinny. You don't talk. So earlier in the week,
God, I had talked
about the fact that I think it's pretty clear that Henry knows that he's a dead man, basically.
Why are we not talking about sausages right now?
We're going to get
there. What do you get?
We're going to get there. We're going
to
get there.
We're totally going to get there. I need to get around this, though. So it feels like he does this because it's the only option he has. He's at least smart enough to go, I need to go directly
it's
to him.
It's a smart move. He has to go to the boss.
Yeah. Because if he runs, then he's definitely dead.
You asked the question earlier in the week, which we said we were going to delay till this is the point to talk about it. Was, I believe your question, you can correct me if I'm wrong, is he afraid that Paulie's going to kill him? What was your question exactly?
I said that I think it was, I just think at that point he...
Oh, no, your question was Paulie going to kill him at this moment?
Yes.
Yes. I think he was a dead man, and this is the only thing he can think of to belay that.
No, and
well,
in
some way. If he was going to be killed, why wouldn't he be killed right here?
And that's the thing is that Paulie could have gotten to him in prison.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, like he could have gotten to him. I still believe that they did not think that, and actually I can back it up, but in real life, in the book, he talks a lot about the who's going to kill him or what's the issue and all that sort of stuff, you know, like where's it going to go? And in the book, he talks about how his lawyer is the Vario family lawyer. Yeah. Right. And there was a conversation about how Henry, you know, so what happened was is that the Henry's lawyer was Richie Otto, O-D-D-O. And while he got arrested and he's cooling his jets in prison, Karen goes to see the lawyer. And when she goes to see the lawyer, Lenny Vario is there, who's another one of the Paulie's families. And the lawyer said that he hadn't been able to see Henry for a couple of days, and Karen didn't understand that because Karen's like, why would Henry be hiding from his own lawyer? But Henry was afraid because he didn't know what to happen, you know, like what he didn't want to give the lawyer any information to take back to Paulie, right? And Lenny Vario was the one who said that he's known Henry his whole life. Henry's a stand-up guy. He said if there's any concern over it, Henry would never talk against people, that he'd commit suicide before talking.
Right.
And so that's what the Vario, that's what Paulie and his people thought of.
Now, that's what they said.
Now, on the other side of the fence, the district attorney and the cops played tapes for Henry when he was in prison of Jimmy and Seppi and who else? Who else was there? And a third person was there talking about how it was time to kill Henry.
Shit.
Yeah. So when Henry's looking at it, he's like, okay, Jimmy's the one who's going to whack me because he's afraid of getting tied with the drug stuff, but Paulie isn't. I think Henry never thought Paulie the whacking was going to come from Jimmy. That's who he's afraid of. So.
The only thing I would say is that if I was Paulie, I'd say that even if I was going to kill him.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you'd want to say. You want to keep him calm.
Potentially.
Henry's really sorry. That's all I know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so we get Henry's apology.
This is the most sincere he seemed in the entire movie, by the way.
Yeah.
Except for that one time when he says, like at the beginning when she did look great. Like, it was the one time when he said he was attracted to Karen in the beginning and this.
After he stood Karen up. Yeah, exactly. And I think this is, I mean, the way they do this is, you know, we enter the scene of Henry apologizing, looking down, you know, kind of shaking his head, and then we get the cut where we see aged Paulie. Paulie's now gray and older.
Oh, he's got a nice tan, nice white head of hair.
He doesn't look good. My note was sausages have never looked better, but Paulie's never looked worse.
Yeah,
I mean, he's
sunken eyes.
Sunken eye. He's not in good shape.
Yeah, but he looks pissed. Yeah. And then I also like, I don't know why, other than the fact that they're fantastic, I don't understand why we cut for 5 seconds to the pan of sausage and peppers that Paulie's cooking.
It's a super long shot. Okay, well, I mean, you could go with the super obvious metaphor of, you know, he's cooked.
Yeah.
You know, and that's super obvious. Maybe that's it. They really hang on that for a bit. And I don't know. I was thinking about it. We saw a cut to sausages early. You know, with the sandwich and the bulldog and the outdoor sort of grill.
Oh, yeah.
When you have a shot of delicious-looking sausages, you don't waste that shot. You put that shot in the movie.
Well, the other thing that's happening here is, I don't know if you noted, the sound of the sausage is super high in the mix.
Well, that's I'm going to talk about that tomorrow because that's
– okay.
Because we're actually seeing them here. We don't see them at all tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay.
But they're delicious looking.
I also like the fact that he's cooking them not on an actual stove but on a rangette. Which is a little portable range that you could exactly. Which is nice.
So
more importantly, as we're watching this, I have a sauce on the stove right now with sausages in there, and it's the visual of this combined with the smell coming from the kitchen right now is almost too much for me to handle.
You're a sweet sausage man yourself.
I'm a sweet sausage man. Yes,
I like to have one of each. But let's first of all discuss the fact that you're an asshole.
Why?
Okay, because you've got sausage ready to go.
Well, for the first time in what is this, minute 128? For the first time in 128 episodes, I wised up Connor. I said, listen, we're going to record right around dinner time. I'm going to start the sauce before we record. I'm going to get a sauce going a good hour before we even start talking and let it simmer on a low heat.
It's going to reduce down. That flavor is going to concentrate.
Oh no! But I got sausage in there. I got beef in there.
It's going to permeate with the flavor of the meats.
Wait! What kind of beef are you using?
Oh, chuck, cheap chuck.
You just put just ground beef is going.
No,
in there?
No, not ground beef. No, I get a nice cut of chuck beef. You know, like it's just
like beef stew meat.
Yeah, almost like stew meat. And what you want to do is ideally the key thing, like when I'm making my own sauce, I talked about this when we talked about the sauce in prison.
I know, but this is what happened today. I want to know what happened today.
Well, no, but the key to my family's tomato sauce, if you ask me, is getting that chuck beef in the sauce early and let it cook slowly, because then the beef gets stringy, you can pull it apart with a fork. It gets really, kind of easy to come apart. I didn't have enough time to do that tonight, so what I did was I heated up some olive oil, I threw in the sausages, I threw in the beef, browned the meat for a little bit, and then because I don't have time to make a sauce from scratch, I got a jar of Rao's sauce, and then I dumped the jar in the pot, and then just knocked it down all the way to low, like the lowest. I'm contemplating turning it off, to be honest with you.
Don't do that.
Yeah, no, I know.
Don't do that.
It's at the lowest that you can, and I'm just letting it slowly simmer, waiting for me once we finish recording. So,
now, are you doing any pre-cooking of that sausage?
Well, yeah, I
browned it.
What I'm wondering is, are you putting all that stuff, you brine them in the same pan?
Yes.
In the stock pot there?
Yep.
You do the sausages first and then put the beef in, or are they going in at the same time?
I put the sausage in first, you want the color to turn?
Uh-huh.
And then once I saw the color turn, I put the beef in, did the same thing, browned it a little bit, let that go for a little while on medium heat or so.
Take the sausage out?
No, I left it in. I want the juices. You want the the flavor. Yeah, no, it's all for the flavor.
You don't want to overcook it, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I
you put it back in.
But. Don't tell me, no, you don't take it out. I just left it in.
How many onions?
No onions, because the sauce. I already made the sauce, so onions were already in the sauce. I left it in because I want the like the and in this shot you see the peppers. They sweat. Not the peppers. I mean the sausage sweats. You want that. That's the flavor.
It's flavor country.
Yeah. Gotta have the pork. The pork. That's the flavor. That's what he says. That's the flavor.
The flavor is the pork.
Yeah. Who are these sausages for? Are they all for Paulie?
All of them.
We're going to see where he is tomorrow. You think he's making anybody else a sandwich?
Nope.
Well, Tootie's there.
It's a lot of sausage.
Although we haven't seen him yet, Tootie is there in the next room. So it could be.
I want to see the scene of Paulie eating all that sausage.
Listen, there's six of them there. Three for Tootie, three for Paulie. It's perfectly reasonable. Also,
hold on.
The reason why I hate you, Ron, is because for the fun fact for this minute, I was researching sausage and peppers. So for a good amount of time, I was looking at pictures of sausage and peppers on the internet, and I was like, I'm salivating right now thinking about it.
Well, the funny thing is that I bought a pack of sweet Italian sausage, and I got I think there's eight links in there or whatever. And this is the second time I've made this kind of sauce, and each time with two, so I've got four left. And so I'm already plotting. All right, I'm going to the store tomorrow and pick up some peppers. I'm going to do a nice sausage and peppers with pasta and a pasta olio, an olive oil type thing. Oh, it's going to be great.
I hate you so much.
Yeah. I'm eating well this week.
Sausage and peppers is one of my favorite meals.
It really is. I mean, every baseball game.
As soon as baseball season starts again, I'm going to have
to. Exactly, yeah.
But here's what I found out researching sausage and peppers is that
We're going deep. We're going deep on sausage in this.
Sausage and pepper dish, which is if for some reason you're listening to the show and don't know, is when you grill some sausage, some peppers, maybe some onions, have them in a nice sandwich, a nice roll. It seems to be a new world dish because there's no correlating native Italian dish in which you would grill these things together.
Right.
But sausages themselves, grilling and making and cooking sausages themselves, goes way far back. There's evidence in the Mesopotamia and ancient Egypt of making sausages and cooking them for food. But people suspect they go back even further than that. And that is when you take the leftover bits of the animal and you put them in a casing. Thought to be done because, you know, back then you had to use all the parts of the meat as you could. So it's a grand, grand human tradition to have sausages.
And it's delicious. Let's not forget.
Delicious.
Yeah.
It's so good. Snap.
I mean, it is at any, whenever I go to a Met game, it is my inning three eating.
Like, well, Ron and I used to, we both lived in New York. We'd go to baseball games often and yep. Mostly to have a sausage and pepper.
Yeah, mostly. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the baseball game, we were into it, but mostly we would talk about the sausage and peppers on the way to the game.
Yeah. Oh.
And how many conceivably could we have and still be okay?
Yeah. I've had a lot, let me tell you.
I like to have a sweet and a spicy. I like to mix it up.
Yeah, I'm not a big spicy guy. Like, I always go sweet. So, but
I like the spicy.
The older I get, the more spicy I like.
And it's funny because at Mets games, at least, I don't know how they do. I forget how they do it at Yankee Stadium, but at Mets games, they've got all the sausages going, and they've got peppers and onions. And there's some people who just only want the sausage or just onions or just, you know, like. And I'm always like, no, peppers and onions. That's all. Put it on there. It's great.
Put them all on there.
Put them all. Just make it all. I'm just gonna make all the sausage.
Now the thing about this particular pan, and this is the sausage minute, which is totally fine, is that he doesn't. It doesn't seem like he's got enough peppers to go with these sausages.
Yeah, no, I agree. There's the ratio, the balance of sausage to peppers and onions in this is very off. Yeah, it's very.
I feel
off.
Like looking at him, you can see that he's really gonna lean more towards the sausage.
Yeah, but it's the combination of flavors between the pepper and the sausage that the contrast that really gives it its specialness. And it's not. It looks like he's getting very little peppers. I see no evidence of onions either.
Yeah, no, that's a concern too. Yeah, it looks to be mainly peppers here. So, green peppers, by the way, as well too, which I prefer as well too. I prefer green pepper, but
it's odd because the red pepper is more sweet.
Yeah, no, is it?
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, I like that Henry dressed up for the meeting.
Well,
he put a suit
on.
Does
he still have that closet?
No.
Does he still have all those suits, or they're gone?
Maybe. I like how he is trying to explain to Paulie how he's making things right, and he swears that he's clean, and he swears on his kids that he's clean. Yeah. And then the other Paulie's reaction to that is that you treated me like a jerk, and does the hand gesture of the from the chest up to the chin out. You treated me like a jerk.
What does that gesture mean?
Like, fuck you.
Bafangul.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Paul, again, give it up for Paul Sorvino, and it continues into tomorrow's minute. I feel like I did something wrong watching this.
You feel chastened?
Yeah, yeah.
I do too. I get that feeling too.
I feel like you did something wrong by not offering Josh and I some of your sausage.
It smells so good, Connor. Sauce. It smells so good.
I can make sauce.
Yes, but is it there right now?
Whatever,
right there in front of you.
Whatever.
Well, it's 11. It's late at night where I am. I'm out.
It's never too late. It's never too. I did this the other night at 12:30.
You're living a different life than me.
Whatever, New England Irish boy.
That just sounds like a restless night of sleep with a possible wake up involved.
Well, you gotta have an iron stomach like I do. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right.
Someday it will betray you.
Treat me like a jerk.
Anything else for this particular minute?
That's all I got.
The fuck count is 4 because Paulie's pissed.
Do you think he's got sweet sausage or hot sausage?
Sweet.
You're just saying what you like.
Yes.
Well, maybe we'll find out tomorrow. Tune in for minute 129. Maybe we'll find out what kind of sausage Paulie has. Spoiler alert, we don't. Until then, you can check us out on Twitter at Goodfellas Minute and on Instagram and Facebook at Goodfellas Minute. You can find all of our episodes of the show at goodfellowsminute.com. Support the show by going to patreon.com/GFN. That's where you can become a member. And if you give it the proper level, you get your own mob nickname, which we'll be giving out on Friday's show. Two more people get mob nicknames. You can also go to goodfellowsminute.com/support, where you can shop via Amazon. And any questions, anything to note, any fun facts, you can email us at contact@goodfellowsminute.com. Until tomorrow, I am not having sausage and peppers for dinner, and I'm really not happy about it.
Or will I go from rags to riches? My fate is up.